WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back, everyone, here to Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your weekly host, Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Torrey
and Tyler Harrison.
And let's get right into things. Luke, of course, welcome back after your little absence from the show. Mm-hmm. How was your little sabbatical thanks to the wonderful university providing you so much schoolwork?
We made it.
We made it. Okay. Wordy as always from Luke Torrey here. Let's get right into things, of course, with the news. A lot to talk about. There was some concern last week that maybe, might not be a lot to talk about, but we were very wrong indeed. Mm-hmm. Let's get right into things, of course. We got to quickly mention, last week we mentioned, you know, when we left you, it was the middle of Game 5 for the World Series. Texas was up against Arizona. We thought possibly Arizona could make a comeback. Well, we were all wrong. Luke, of course, you didn't make the prediction, so you don't have to say you were wrong. But, yes, the Texas Rangers are now the World Series champions. Of course, the first time in their organization's history to win that trophy. So, once again, a congratulations to them and that accomplishment.
And a thank you for taking down the Astros along the way.
Of course, the Yankees fan.
Diamondbacks, I still love you for taking down the Phillies.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I agree with that. Not so much for that one. But let's get into the more current news. I mean, let's get straight into things. Who would have thought that a former Brewers manager would quickly become, within a matter of not even being fired from the Brewers, basically would just swap over to being a Chicago Cubs coach. I mean,
that threw me off, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
was not expecting that at all, but the more I look into it, the more it's like it could work. I mean, it can't be much worse than what the Cubs had going on these past few years. So
yeah. Well, I mean, let's go quickly. Right. I mean, just to explain kind of what's going on. If you're kind of thinking, what's going on with the Cubs? Well, of course, Craig Counsell. I mean, what, about 10 years he was the manager for the Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, just should note, since 2013, the Milwaukee Brewers have been in the NL Central Division after the move from the AL Central. So, of course, that brought them into the same division as the Chicago Cubs. You know, and then, of course, Craig's been a part of the organization basically since then. And then with that move, he went, he's been manager, and let's see, I think they've been, I forget how many times did they go to the playoffs with him. I think it's a majority. I mean,
they've won the NL Central, I think, 5 out of the last 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, again, very good coach, able to bring his teams to the playoffs, even if the quality of such teams were sometimes questionable, even though it's the NL Central at the same time. But, it was what? It was right before the World Series. The rumor kind of came out, hey, his contract is expiring, and he might be looking to kind of move around. And then, Luke, I don't think we ever got your opinion on that, we have the news where he landed. But I guess, what was your thoughts when you heard, his contract expiring, he could be looking to make a jump somewhere else?
I mean, instantly I was just thinking, like, potential suitors, like, where I think he could land. Honestly, I mean, it came...
And everyone's thought Mets.
Yeah, that was the first one that went to my head, honestly. I didn't really think...
I know last week we talked about him going to the Astros, possibly. Like, with the,
that
with
wouldn't
the success,
surprise me.
It was a long stretch at the time. Obviously, it's a longer stretch now that with the Cubs. But
yeah.
we were talking about how the Astros were looking for potential managerial options that could get them to the playoffs consistently because they have to be win now.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a surprise to see him land with the Cubs, but I wouldn't say I ruled them out of that potential.
But here's the thing, though. But the Cubs, like, I'll say this. I 100% thought David Ross was going to be
the Cubs.
Yeah, he was going to stick around for one more year at least.
I did, too.
Yeah. because he, you know, kind of, well, we'll talk about the Wilson Contreras comments a little in a second, but I mean, you would think from the players' perspective, they seem to love the guy. So it was kind of like, you know, all right, if we're not doing great by the All-Star break, you gotta let him go by then. But like, it seems like, okay, he's at least got another half a season leniency to kind of go through with Chicago. But I mean, I guess let's talk about quickly the deal, and then kind of we'll talk about the firing at the same time. I mean, Chicago absolutely wanted this guy with the contract he's getting. I mean, $8 million a year. I know people kind of talk about coaches' salaries in other leagues, but of course in the MLB, it's kind of famously, it's not super crazy. But, I mean, if Chicago is willing to set a record-breaking deal with Craig Counsell to become their manager, I mean, how badly do they really want him on that bench? I mean, I think that says a lot. Would you guys agree?
I mean, yeah, it clearly states like they wanted him. They knew they wanted him. You know, I don't know how well it's gonna work. Obviously, a new coach coming in to a, you know, rough situation. You know, the Cubs, they're almost there, but they're not quite there. I feel like they need to make a big move in the offseason if they want to, like, take that next step. But I feel like you got to give the Cubs a year to, especially with the new manager, to build that chemistry. Mm-hmm. But
I think Counsell put himself in the same situation he was at with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cut, like you said, Luke, the Cubs are in the same situation that they are a little, they're almost there. They, Cody Bellinger may not be re-signed with them.
Yankee.
Hopefully not. Yeimer Candelario, they need to re-sign. They need better offensive production out of Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner. They're getting it defensively. They need it offensively now. They need, I almost said Jordan Montgomery. No, Justin Steele. They need Justin Steele to show up like he has the second half of the season. But the Cubs aren't in contention with other NL teams. They're just not. They're in the same situation as the Brewers, where they almost have the talent, but they need a superstar. Like the Cardinals, they had Goldschmidt, who was the MVP last year, but they've kind of fallen off. But with other NL teams, such as up-and-coming Corbin Carroll for the Diamondbacks, or the Phillies and Braves as an entire team, the Cubs just, they don't compete. They don't compete in that same category as those NL teams. There's a pyramid, and they're not on the same level. So
not even close.
Counsell put himself in the same situation that he was in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and I think with Cubs players wanting to keep David Ross and then getting a rival manager to come in and tell them what to do, I'm not seeing good things for the Cubs. And I'm seeing, because Counsell's playground got defaced in Milwaukee. He had like some school or park or whatever named after him, and it, as soon as he was signed with the Cubs, it instantly got defaced. So Milwaukee clearly is not taking it well. I think Chicago players aren't going to take it well. It just does not look like a good sign for the NL Central.
Well, I mean, I want to circle back to that when it comes to kind of the rationale of Milwaukee, because I've been very shocked. But, I mean, let's talk about kind of the players' reaction real quick, because you have Wilson Contreras, of course, a former Cub, was with the organization for a while, but then you had the trade that kind of happened where he got shifted around. I believe that was, of course, part of the Atlanta-Oakland trade for Sean Murphy. And he goes, of course, to Chicago. But as soon as the news comes out, I mean, Chicago fans were showing evidence of, like, Contreras at least did not like Ross, because I found on Reddit, like, there was a guy who showed off a DM from, like, 2 years ago when Contreras was on the team kind of talking about Ross, how he didn't like him. And then, of course, there was a comment where it came out kind of talking about Ross after he was fired. I mean, maybe from the player's perspective, maybe that love was not exactly as much as we thought behind closed scenes for him. I mean, Luke, what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, I think you said it pretty perfect. You summed it up pretty perfectly, but it's just like, it's tough to, like, you know, going off of, like, last season, for example, you know, I wouldn't say he did a bad job. I would, but I also wouldn't say he did a great job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, and it's obviously a tough situation to predict because obviously it's a new guy coming in. But I could expect to see the Cubs maybe take a jump within the next few years, but you got to give it a little bit of time.
All right. Well, then I guess let us now talk about the Brewers fans. I don't know. I feel like they're acting way more shocked than they should be because, I mean, basically the moment the rumor came out, it was very clear he was jumping somewhere else. I mean, now, to be fair, everyone was predicting it was going to be like New York. No one was saying it was going to be Chicago. I think that's one of the things. I mean, how do you guys react to that news?
I thought it was going to be New York, too. I thought Council was going to put himself in the same situation that he was at with the Brewers, but with New York, where they have talent. They have Lindor, Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte, up-and-coming Francisco Alvarez. They could be contenders if they didn't get rid of two Cy Young Award winners.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it came as a surprise to me, seeing the ESPN notification come up that he was pretty much replacing David Ross. It wasn't that David Ross kind of resigned or he was fired. No, he was signed with the Cubs, and then Council just said, oh, I'm here too. So it's extremely surprising.
So let me ask you both this. Who do you think replaces for the Brewers' job?
I mean, there's been a couple of reports already that the Brewers are looking possibly internally. So maybe they go after someone like maybe they're the AAA guy. Maybe they look
bench
at him.
Coach, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
someone who knows the team. I think it'd be the smartest decision to go with somebody.
Yeah, and the cheapest. We're talking about the Brewers. It'll be the cheapest.
I'd say the Brewers are they're a very systematic like program, and I that makes sense to me that they would stay in program.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of kind of staying in program a little bit, let's talk about the Angels.
I'm sorry to both of you.
Yeah.
We lost our first and third base coach. I'm going to miss Ron.
Yeah, Ron's a good character. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So I guess.
How many years did they sign him for?
Because,
he's old.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Really old.
I was thinking about.
I don't think that's come out yet. I don't think his contract details come out.
It can't be
The team announced that they have signed him. So he's it's out there. I'm not sure about the contract.
It can't be more than 4 years, right?
Well, here's the thing. I was just thinking about this. There's no way the man isn't dying during a baseball game at this rate. Come on. He's going to be on the field.
Ouch.
And he's just going to he's going to grab his chest or something like that. Or he's just gonna fall over. Come on, at this rate.
All right, live and die by the baseball.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, he's 74.
I was gonna go with tearing a rotator cuff.
How old was La Sorsa?
Hang on.
The second time around, last year when he was on the White Sox.
Okay, Ron Washington's 71.
How can you look up how old?
That's younger than Nick Saban.
Oh,
he's still
fine.
Got it in him.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
He's got four.
He may hurt himself making somebody round third, but other than that, I think he'll be all right.
He ain't rounding third no more.
Yeah.
He's the head coach throwing his hands up when they win their 20th game of the season after the All-Star break. I feel bad for Ron because he's going into a system where there should not be allowed any hate towards him for Angels fans. They are going to lose Trout and Ohtani. By this time next
it's
year,
time,
Angels fans
I'm
are going
to sorry,
be,
Angels fans. It's time to not rebuild, restart. I think if you added a expansion team to the league right now, they'd have quicker success than the Angels.
I think the Athletics are going to finish with a better record than the Angels.
That's
next
not
season.
Crazy to say. It's not ridiculous to say that.
That makes my body recoil.
It brings you back to simpler times when the Athletics were good, when they had Coco Crisp and Chris Davis. That team was exciting. That team was exciting.
Moneyball?
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. But now they're sadly not going to be a team anymore.
Yeah. For the Angels, I think they're in a really weird place because, again, Ohtani's gone. Come on.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a Dodger.
Watch Ohtani go to, some irrelevant team, the Twins or something.
He's going
to
be a Brave. Come on.
Realistically.
Actually, I was doing a simulation on MLB The Show. He's going to be an Athletic, according to them.
No.
That made my head hurt. That gave me a headache.
That's not once they move to Vegas, they'll actually throw the money around. There you go.
Oh, well, for sure. If they're moving to Vegas, they definitely
Or they're going to gamble on Vegas.
They're
going to gamble on a play. Funny guy.
Yeah, funny. Anyway, I guess what's your expectations? Because for Craig Council, I mean, for Cubs fans, it's pretty much like you have to make the playoffs next year. For like the Angels, though, and Ron Washington, again, took the Rangers to the World Series twice in a row, and then, of course, he kind of had his miniature downfall. But now he's back in the AL West with the Angels. I mean, but here's the problem. You're looking at that Angels roster. I'm not saying you couldn't do something with that. I think you can. I don't think it'll be I think it's going to be very blue-collar baseball kind of approach. But, I mean, what's your expectations, at least for year one, Ron Washington?
They need production out of Logan Ohapi, Luis Renjifo. They need Anthony Rendon to play more than 50 games. They need, if I didn't say Eduardo Escobar, he needs production. If they're going to lose two pretty much Hall of Famers, I don't know if Shohei's clinched his spot yet, but he will. Two pretty much Hall of Famers, if they're going to lose them, the Angels fans are just maybe hoping to break 500. Hoping to break 500 without two all-time greats and positive production out of players that aren't named after a fish. Mm-hmm. And Mike Trout, obviously.
Yeah.
But Angels, they don't need to have high expectations. And I hate to say that because...
They shouldn't have any expectations.
Yeah. It's,
if they expect to be bad, they're just going to be worse. So they should really just expect nothing.
The most they can hope to do is like ruin the Astros playoffs at the end of the year, maybe. Or have like the greatest midseason tournament with the Athletics. I don't know. I'm not going to enjoy watching the Angels anymore.
No. Mike Trout's got to be a on a team that's relevant.
He also needs his body to hold up.
Yeah, for once.
He's a great center fielder, but I think at his age right now, he's not gold glove material that he was before. He's not the 30-30 club.
Right.
So then, I mean, let's talk about Mike Trout, because do you see the Angels keeping him?
No.
I mean, yeah, I do see them keeping him. I've said he's got to go for years, and right next year, he's right back where he was. It would not, I think, 60% sure he will be an Angel next year, but that other 40%, truly, I want him to be on a team that's a contender, and no, I don't mean the Dodgers. Please don't give him to the Dodgers.
Dodgers are getting either Trout or Ohtani. It's unfortunate, but it's gonna
happen. Like seeing Trout in a Dodgers uniform would just like kind of ruin my childhood.
Seeing any good player in a Dodgers fan is gonna make my
head. Would just like ruin my childhood. Like it just like the Dodgers have just been so good like for so many years as we grew up, and now you're just gonna see the guy who ran the league just in a Dodgers uniform. That's just like that just hurts to like look at, you know. Like I don't want that at all. Trout's got to be like a Texas Ranger.
I think it's gonna be a Philly.
Oh no, that's worse.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Trout and Harper would be so sick.
The tongue has the power of life and death. You don't speak that stuff.
I remember being in fifth grade reading a magazine in like the library of like who's better, Trout or Harper, and now they're gonna be together.
I mean, I think that's the most realistic scenario.
That'd be insane. Could you imagine the Phillies team, but who's their center fielder
Brandon Marsh?
No. This dude that
Josh Rojas?
Yeah, was that his name?
Oh, wait, how many years ago?
No, this year.
Yeah, Josh Rojas.
Was it Rojas or was it something Rojas? Imagine replacing him with Mike Trout.
Goodness.
They are not losing to the Diamondbacks in seven,
Their outfield would be Brandon Marsh, Trout, and Josh Rojas, Bryce Harper at first. They've got Trey Turner.
Schwarber would be DH at Schwarber. Castellanos would play left, Marsh in right, Trout in center.
I think you need to move Castellanos. Oh, goodness. No, put Schwarber at catcher.
Harper's just got to man up. Harper's got to play right, and you put Castellanos at first. That's what you have to do.
I don't like talking about the Phillies.
Yeah.
But they have the potential. If Harper were to move back to the outfield, they have the potential to form one of the best lineups I've ever seen. Like, could you imagine this? Outfield, Brandon Marsh, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. Infield, Bryson Stott, Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos at first, and then
Alec Bohm,
and then JT Realmuto, a perennial top five catcher. Like, that would be unbelievable.
I hope it's
Oh my gosh.
It's only unbelievable.
That would be crazy.
I don't want it to become a reality.
That would be crazy.
All right, well, we'll have more to talk about when we get back. I mean, look, we got to talk about some comments about the Yankees in regards to Brian Cashman.
Brian Cashman.
We'll have that and more. We'll be back in 5 minutes, guys.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back, everybody, to Student Section at MLB. Of course, I'm your host, Carson Keel, with
Luke Torrey
and Tyler Harrison.
And let's get right into things when talking about the New York Yankees. Luke, how did the New York Yankees do this past season?
Horrible.
Describe horrible for me.
Worst batting average than the A's.
They were bottom tier. They were literally bottom of the line for all statistical hitting categories. They finished 82-80 somehow. The only reason they did was because they have a guy named Garrett Cole who's going to win the Cy Young. And major changes need to be made, not only to the team, but to the organization and what we value, starting with the analytics team. I am so sick and tired of that. Trust the analytics. Stop it. It's not working. Something's got to change. And it does not feel good as a Yankee fan to see our general manager, Brian Cashman, thinking that we are pretty effing good, quote.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second. So let's talk about...
I'm not laughing at him. I'm trying not to.
Okay. Let's talk about... So Brian Cashman, of course, New York Yankees have a
horrible general manager.
Have a passionate, fervent fan base. Would you agree with that, Luke?
Yes, I'm very passionate.
Okay.
And realistic.
I'm full of passion.
I won't say Yankees fans are realistic, but
agreed.
But have fans been beloved by Brian Cashman? Would you say
no? Brian Cashman hates us, and we hate Brian Cashman. It's like, there's no love-hate. I've never loved anything about him.
So you'd say mutual.
Yes, it's mutual hatred. I want him gone. I've wanted him gone. Ever since the boss died, this organization has just been trending downward.
So you're saying Big Stein would have fired Cashman?
Yes, years ago, 100% the boss would have fired him. Hal doesn't have the you-know-whats. Like, I'm telling you, some things gotta change. And in an interview, for those who don't know what I was just referring to, there was a press conference where Brian Cashman got flustered and frustrated at a comment from one of the reporters, and he responded with, quote, "I think we are pretty effing good, honestly." As a Yankee fan,
no.
How on God's green earth do you think that we are pretty effing good, honestly? Because we finished bottom in every statistical category for hitting. We almost broke our streak of 35 years straight of finishing above 500. We've filtered through hitting coaches during the regular season. Nothing seemed to work. So how are we almost... No, how are we not almost? How are we, quote, pretty effing good? Because it's not clicking in my brain.
Well, you threw a perfect game.
Oh, and you know that guy that threw the perfect game? Yeah, he got kicked off the team 2 weeks later for alcohol abuse.
Well, that's his issue.
And he's now been designated for assignment, and he'll be picked up by some, like, Twins team, and he'll go win the Cy Young because that's what happens.
I mean, Chapman got a ring.
Yep, that's what happens when you. Yep, so did Jordan Montgomery. You know, like, it just happens. And
okay, so without causing a potential scandal, how much longer do you think Little Stein, who probably doesn't like calzones,
oh,
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get those Seinfeld references in.
Yeah. All right. Well, come on.
All right. Well, how long do you think for Lil Stein? Do you think how long does he have with the fan base to fire Cashman and or Boone?
They've got until the season starts.
No, realistically, 2026.
2020.
You think that's when they'll actually fire Cashman?
Realistically, that's if there's no changes made in the next 2 years with our program and how we produce, they will both and should be both. They should be and will be both gone by 2026.
2 more years? Do you think mentally you could put up with that?
No, but okay. I know realistically.
This is what we're getting with what I've
seen from this organization. If I'm being completely frank and completely realistic. I think it's very fair to say that 2026 is the years that those two are gone.
We have been
the problem with the organization is that they are too player friendly. They keep Boone around because Cole and Judge love him. Cole and Judge love him, and you go to your two superstars and you ask them what they want to do. They say we want to keep Boone around. They'll keep Boone around. Sometimes, you can do that for a year, maybe 2 years, but now it's time to take matters into your big boy hands and you figure it the heck out. You got to figure out what is going on. And it's got to be now. I've seen so much on Twitter this offseason, or formerly Twitter, now X, whatever. About, the Yankees, big changes are coming. We're not following the analytics to know more. Like, blah, 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 this and that. Judge saying that big changes are going to be made. I'll believe it when I see it. When Juan Soto and Yamamoto are Yankees, I'll be happy. And Bellinger. Get Bellinger, too. Because imagine an outfield of Juan Soto, Cody Bellinger, and Aaron Judge.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that outfield to go
83-70. No. All honesty, if that is our outfield... Here comes 28 if that is our outfield. That would be the best outfield of all time.
You're getting your hopes up.
I know. Here it is. Yankee fan doing it again. Getting my hopes up for no reason. No, I did too, but here it is.
Braves fans, we won 104 games.
I'll leave you all with this. Brian Cashman has 2 off seasons to get me 28, and if he doesn't, I want him fired, and I do not want him rehired. I want him unemployed for the rest of his life.
What about his family?
His family. I don't care about his family.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm done ranting.
And scene.
I'm done ranting about Brian Cashman and his family.
All right, now talk about Aaron Boone.
All right. I'm cool with that. Aaron Boone. The most...
Here we go.
No. I genuinely like Boone as a manager. I do. The passion he shows for his players. He leads the league in ejections. What can't you love about that? I actually like Boone.
I wouldn't want to be around the losing team.
I can't put all the blame for the hitting and the injuries. I can't put that all on Boone. Does Boone make some questionable decisions? Yes.
A lot.
But he also makes good decisions sometimes, and those don't get looked at as much as the bad decisions do, because good decisions are expected to be made. Bad decisions aren't. So honestly, I think Boone gets a lot more hate than he should for the situation that goes on with the Yankees. But that being said, I give him until 2026 as well.
You're pouring out all this love, and then you have until I graduate to get it together.
If Alabama doesn't win a national championship, fire Boone. If Alabama doesn't win a national championship by the time I graduate and the Yankees don't win a World Series, fire Boone.
So you want Saban as a manager?
Yeah, Saban take over as the Yankees manager. He's a Yankee fan, if you didn't know that.
Oh, wow. He is a Yankee fan. I am an Auburn fan now.
Every time he posts his Lake Day pictures with the how he takes the guys on his leg on his boat on Lake Tuscaloosa, he's always wearing a Yankee
shirt. Wait, no, then we need the Yankees to lose so he gets mad so we get fired up so we win a national championship. Yes?
No.
Nobody?
Oh. Well, the Yankees lost, so he should be mad, fired up, and that's why we haven't lost.
So number 19 is coming our way.
Wait, when Texas was playing, the Yankees were still in, right? That was before the playoffs. Yeah. So now the Yankees are eliminated. We haven't lost since, and we're looking like a national championship contender. Oh, my God. We just cracked the code.
Yes. Let's do it.
Natty confirmed this year. Natty confirmed. Roll Tide.
Oh, God. Anyway. Code.
This is my quarterback.
What was that? Oh, okay.
Heisman.
All right.
Lank. Sorry. Right, back to baseball.
I hope we beat Kentucky.
Okay. Anyway, all right. So I guess, Luke, let's instead of just ranting and raving, right. Let me ask you this.
Right.
Do you think that such a speech will rally support for Cashman for fans? Because I've seen it seems mixed.
All the reactions I saw to what Cashman said the other day have been my reaction just there.
I've seen only negative reactions. I mean, I'm hoping for some people to be like, oh, well, he knows we have the talent.
He doesn't know we have the talent because I don't know we have the talent. And I know every single player, like, inside and out. We have not produced a single successful farm system grown player other than Aaron Judge.
What about Volpe?
Volpe, I haven't seen enough from him yet. Glaber, we got via trade. But like I want
Jason Dominguez to heal up because I was excited to see the Martian. Excited to see him play.
I've been waiting since I was like 16. 15. We signed him when he was like my age at 15 for like $5 million, and I was like, this dude's going to be crazy.
His first seven games were crazy, and then he got hurt.
And each year, he's our top prospect. I'm like, damn, man, where is this guy? And finally, he made it, and in typical Yankee fashion, torn UCL.
I'm hoping for good for him because he did really well. He was off to a historic start. Yeah. I'm hoping for good things for him.
Yeah, I should be.
All right, well, since you say that about kind of the Yankees, but here's the problem. What do the Yankees have a legacy of? Do they have the legacy of basically buying players?
Yes.
Do they have a history of developing players?
They have a history of buying players.
They signed Randy Johnson at one point, didn't they?
They did. Yes. He was a Yankee at some point.
I think that should go kind of the point of how Yankees fans are saying, oh, well, why aren't we developing players? But at the same time, where's that legacy of developing players? I mean, what the Atlanta Braves are known for, what? Developing Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie right now.
We're known for many year, not a lot of money deals.
Yeah.
Cheating.
No, they're not cheating.
No.
Who won 100 games?
You know I'm kidding. In all honesty, though, if I was the Yankees general manager, I'd step down. I'm kidding. But hypothetically, if I was Brian Cashman right now, this offseason, I'm getting Kevin Kiermaier as a little rental center fielder until Dominguez gets back. I'm getting Yamamoto, and I'm getting either Cody Bellinger or Juan Soto. We can't get both.
And then we'll get Shohei, and then we'll...
No, we can't get both. I think it's very reasonable to ask for Yamamoto, one of Soto or Bellinger, and then get some stop... Ugh, I hate the word stopgap. Stopgap, guys. Because for those who don't know why I hate the word stopgap, it's because that's Brian Cashman's go-to. Oh, we're not going after Trey Turner. We're not going after Corey Seager. We got a stopgap guy because we believe in Volpe.
Gold glove.
World Series MVP.
Well.
Corey Seager. Brian Cashman didn't even want to talk to... Did you know Bryce Harper wanted to go to the Yankees? He did.
He did?
He did. Oh. And Brian Cashman wouldn't even talk to him. Wouldn't even have a conversation with Bryce Harper.
I'm gonna lose my mind.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess let's start kind of. If we want to lose our mind, let's talk about some dumb comments Scott Boras made today. Okay, that brought you back real quick.
Man.
Welcome back.
Luke. Okay.
I am back.
So let's talk about the first one. I don't think is as crazy. Of course, if you don't know what Scott Boras is, imagine Jerry Maguire, but the ego the size of Texas. that is Scott Boras. But like I was saying, the first kind of reasonable thing. I mean, what do you guys think about his comments on the draft? Should be away from the All-Star game weekend. It should be kind of its own event. I have to personally disagree. I think that if you want the most attention on a draft, All-Star weekends are pretty good.
Yeah, you do it during the biggest weekend of the
season. Yeah, besides World Series.
Well, yeah, but that's a multi-week thing almost.
Yeah. I mean, Luke, what's your thoughts on the idea of let's make the draft its own big separate event?
I agree. I think the MLB draft has less attention to it than all other sports. drafts.
Because it's so much like NBA, Wembanyama gets drafted first, and he's an instant starter.
Right.
NFL, maybe you're not an instant starter, but you'll see.
I mean, you are if you're a first-round pick.
Yeah,
usually, like unless you're a quarterback. Yeah, receiver, maybe groom.
But you get yes, development, yes, and you yes. see them within a year. But MLB, yeah. right. like.
5-6 years it takes to get
yeah, like
through.
Michael Harris, I was like, oh man, this dude is this. I mean, obviously he was a rookie last year, but
I mean, you look at Aaron Judge, called up when he was 24. I mean, he was 24 years old when he got called up.
Well, he was in the minors, what, in 2011, 2012?
He was drafted in 2012.
He was drafted in 2013, 32nd.
Or 2013, 2013, mm-hmm. yes, because it was 10 years ago, like a couple, yeah.
He was drafted the same year that Max Scherzer went 21-3 on the Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I guess let's talk about the other comment real quick. We'll probably split this into the next segment. The idea that the World Series should be a neutral site event.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I was talking to Carson earlier as we were walking into the studio, and I mean, personally, I think of a team like the early 2000s Mariners. They won 116 games, and then you have the, let's say, Braves of 2 years ago where they win 86 games and they barely get in. I think if you win 116 games, you deserve 5 home games out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Like, no, you can't have it in a neutral site. We tried that once, and that was when we didn't have fans, and no one liked that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all know the reason why it was Texas, but
yeah, but I mean, still, a neutral site, I don't like the idea of that. You can't make it feel like the All-Star game. The All-Star game is fun. You have activities for it. World Series is something that you get a pay raise for. You work all year for. You can't, and you want to do it for your fans. It goes to 7 games and you get the home game and you win the home game for the World Series. You want your fans to almost storm the field. You want to be able to celebrate with the crowd. You don't want to celebrate with a bunch of people who are just like, oh, there's a baseball game coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a dumb comment. I wish we had more time so we could keep this in one segment, but we got to go on to the next one. But I'm just going to say there's a reason the Super Bowl is a neutral site game when it comes to championships. We'll talk about that and more when we get back. But 5-minute break. We got back. When we get back, we'll talk about some players that are signing extensions, kind of what's going on, player options and stuff like that. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back, everybody, to Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Kuehl, with
Luke Torrey.
And Tyler Harrison.
And let's get back to kind of the topic at hand. We were talking about the Scott Boras comments about keeping the World Series in a neutral site. I want to remind people, what is the only championship in the world right now that is at a neutral site?
Super Bowl, Super the Bowl, Olympics.
The Super Bowl. And
Olympics makes
the
sense.
The reason the Super Bowl is at a...
except for 2 years ago when the Buccaneers.
Well, that's just like
that's based on luck. It's predetermined.
Yes, the reason it's predetermined at a neutral site is because there's one game.
Right.
It's the big game. It's one game.
Okay. Well, that in a college football championship.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's the big game. It's one game, and that shouldn't be changed.
Yeah. Well, and then
baseball,
hang on.
Obviously.
Hang on. I'm with you. But what's the one word that everyone uses to describe a Super Bowl or a college football championship where they go?
The big game.
No. What? How do they describe the atmosphere?
Oh.
What's the one word?
It's like unmatched. It's.
No. It's corporate. They think it's corporate.
Yeah. It's not one-sided because it's not. But like when you have 7-game series in baseball and the NBA. It makes much more, and in NHL, it makes much more sense to have some games at home, some games away.
Right.
And like that's just, I mean, that's so dumb that Boras would say that.
It's just like, here's the thing
with Strider saying there shouldn't be any fans. Like, dude, what are you even talking about?
Well, to be fair, I think that was him just kind of making a dumb joke. But when it comes to, like, again, should the World Series be a corporate event? Because that's basically what the Super Bowl is besides TV. It's a corporate event. Right. I mean, so it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like, okay, well, all right. Anyway. Let's start talking about some player options real quick. Let's kind of go over those. Tyler, real quick, I know the Braves have a couple we want to talk about.
Yes, unfortunately, our amazing Gold Glove finalist and an NLCS MVP, Eddie Rosario, we have declined his option.
Right.
Unfortunately, now we are getting Charlie Morton back. I know we signed Pierce Johnson and Brad Hand at the trade deadline, and Pierce Johnson we signed to a 2-year, $34 million extension, something like that. Good production out of him, especially coming out of Colorado where your ERA skyrockets, so we took a chance on him. Good stuff. And we took Brad Hand, who turns out his ERA skyrocketed because he is not the best, and not because he was in Colorado, but... I hate losing Eddie. Hmm. I hate it. I love his swing looks nice. I love watching him play. There were so many moments during this year where he was hyped up. He hit a missile off of Tyler Rogers and then hit a missile off of Trevor Rogers in back-to-back game. He had a back-to-back days where he had a home run off of Brothers against the Giants, and the crowd was just hyped. I remember seeing his run in 2021 during the playoffs. It was just amazing. And getting him from the Twins, who were hitting monstrous home runs in 2019.
Yeah.
Getting him from there. I hope his success continues wherever he is picked up. And if we regret our decision and we decide to, I guess, get him back some trade deadline or in a couple of years, I would love to see it.
I mean, I think there's a chance he could stay around. I just think they're going to basically lower that contract a lot. Because, I mean, he was pretty good defensively. It's just offense. It fell off like a rock.
It was super 50-50. Like, he was kind of like Marcell Ozuna, where beginning of the year, he would have spurts of just going 0-for-15.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that series against the Giants, he had 7 extra base hits in 4 games. And you're like, wow, where'd this all go? And then he goes 0-for-16 in the next 4 games. So it's super 50-50. I'd want consistency out of offense. So, I mean, I hope we keep him for certain situations, but I think he would be better as a platoon bat, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. I mean, Luke, what's your thoughts on the Eddie Rosario situation? Do you see him possibly going anywhere? I think he stays as the Brave, but who knows at this point.
I mean, yeah. How old is he now? Like, early 30s?
Yeah, I was early 30s. Like
32, 33-ish?
I don't think he's as old as Mike Trout. Hold on. Eddie Rosario. Gotta do life research.
He's 32.
32? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I mean... Yeah, I'd say he stays. Honestly, I think he'd be a Brave for the rest of his career. I could see him, even if he's not starting, that'd be a good bench guy to have. You know, guy who knows the system, guy who knows who's got the experience, guy who's been there. Yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing. Like, after the 2021 offseason, everyone thought George Soler was going to be a Brave for life, whereas, you know, he's a Miami Marlin.
Actually, that was my next point. Jorge Soler is declining his option with the Marlins.
Potential reunion.
I say we sign our World Series MVP back. After we beat the lawsuit of, you know, him throwing a baseball into the stands, and now the Braves and him are getting sued, even though when you walk into a baseball stadium, there are multiple signs saying, hey, if you get hit, you bought the ticket. There's things coming
watch
at you at 110.
Baseballs and bats.
Yeah, so when they inevitably win that, or when they just give the person a couple $1,000, be like, all right, maybe shut up.
Yeah.
I say get our World Series MVP back and re-sign our NLCS MVP. Let's go on a run. Let's start a dynasty. Okay, if you're allowed to have hope, I can too. I have things to be happy about.
Oh, you did not have to do that.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, Luke, have the Yankees been busy with their player options? Any news on that front?
Yeah, I think IKF, there's like a list I can pull up actually. A bunch of guys that are gonna hit free agency now.
Is Higashioka still on the team?
He is.
Okay.
I like him.
Is he just injured?
No, he just doesn't play.
Oh,
well, actually, okay. He does. Him and Trevino went like back and forth.
Are they both Gold Glove winners?
They are.
Come on.
Sorry. Bear with me.
Hurry up.
Bear with me.
Hurry up.
Jeopardy music.
Bear with me.
I'm bearing. I had to bear talking about the Yankees' potential.
Okay.
That was enough.
I'm struggling here.
Yeah, we can tell. Come on.
So clearly, the Yankees are still struggling, everybody.
Oh, well, in other news for the Yankees, they're strong in considering Tigers assistant hitting coach James Rosen for
their Tigers hitting coach. Wow.
Hitting coach job.
Wow.
Great decision.
Splendid. Right? They're going to go from a 231 team batting average to 234.
We also didn't talk about the Mets hiring Mendoza.
I mean, has that been announced?
Yeah. Oh, Carlos Mendoza is the next manager of the New York Mets. He's been our bench coach for like 15 years.
Well, there you have it, Luke. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I guess because we don't have Luke Anderson here, who's probably listening right now. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on the Mets hiring Mendoza? There we go.
The Yankees have outrighted six players, including Domingo Herman, Matt Bowman, Franchi Cordero, Jimmy Cordero, Billy McKinney, Ryan Weber. They can all now elect free agency. And then IKF and I believe... was it Ben Rovert, our third catcher, are going to be unrestricted free agents.
Hmm.
Okay.
IKF was a good utility guy. He actually had a decent year this year, but, you know, we need changes much bigger than utility guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only name that I recognize other than Domingo Herman, but he's famous for three different things this year. But
yeah,
that,
only one good one.
That, yeah, that's for
only,
a different
only
topic.
One good one.
But no, I think IKF is a good utility player. I think he's like a worse Ha-Seong Kim for the Padres. Can play pretty much where you need him. Didn't he play like backup catcher a couple times?
When he was on the Rangers, he did. Not for us ever.
Okay, well, still, that's still utility. You can still use that.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be a good pickup for a team who, I mean, if you're lacking in one of the nine
like
positions.
The Phillies maybe could use him. Because you need guys that can play infield, that can play outfield, that can, you know, run.
Well, they've got to figure out what Rhys Hoskins is going to do, because earlier announced today,
Harper.
Yeah, Harper may be playing first base indefinitely, which either puts Hoskins out of a job or he's going to have to transition to whatever they may need.
Oh, he's out of a job. There's no, like, come on, he's out.
Man, that's terrible. That hurts. Lose the World Series, tear an ACL, lose your job to Bryce Harper, get off the team in a 2-year span. I can't say I feel too bad, but I feel bad for him, maybe not the team.
All right. Well, on that wonderful note, I feel like that's a good place to end off the show. So next week, we'll have start awards. I believe the nominations are coming out next week, if I'm correct.
Everything will be announced except for the MVP, but we know who's winning it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff Passan. We'll talk about that next week and more. So again, while the off season is here, we're still here every Wednesday night talking to you guys about baseball and the happenings and goings on. But until then, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.